Hey guys, it's Angie. Sorry about the noise. I'm
Recording this on 4th of July weekend, so there are fireworks going off in the background. I swear I'm not in the middle of a war zone. Just wanted to touch base with you guys and let you know that in this episode, we do talk about a mild spoiler at the end of the episode. In Mike's prediction corner, he talks about an upcoming storyline got spoiled for him, and he sort of one of his predictions are sort of about like who he thinks is involved. It's not like a super spoiler, but if you're watching along with us for the first time and you don't want any spoilers at all, just turn the podcast off when you get to prediction corner. The only thing that happens after prediction corner is, the contact information. That stuff's all in the show notes. You guys are smart. You can figure that out. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy the show. Bye. Hello and welcome to You Ruin Everything, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of the CW show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm your host, Angie. I have seen every episode of the show.
I'm co-host Mike, and I've seen just 7 now.
Just a reminder, we are spoiler-free because this is Mike's first time watching, so don't spoil Mike.
No, don't do that.
That'd be a dick move.
Way to gender that.
Or a vagina move, yeah. If you prefer. Some quick housekeeping.
That was a dick move by me.
Yeah, it was. Second dick move. All right, quick housekeeping. If you are doing math, you may have noticed that if we just put out one episode a week, we will not be caught up in time for season 3.
Nope.
So starting this week, we are going to be putting out 2 episodes a week.
We'll do our best. We gotta get caught up.
Gotta get caught up. We want, this won't be a permanent thing. We'll eventually go back down to one episode a week. But for now, while summer semester's over for me and before fall semester starts, we're going to be putting out 2 a week so that we can be caught up and watch season 3 with the rest of you guys.
Yeah, imagine my position if I couldn't watch season 3 when it comes out.
That'd be awful.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want that. I don't want that.
Yeah.
We gotta make this schedule happen.
So we are going to do our best to get caught up so that we can all watch season 3 together. Yay!
Did you see the video that Rachel put out on Twitter today? I think it was today, recently.
Which one?
I don't know. She's singing. It's like all of her videos on Twitter. But she was singing, and in the background was a big pretzel. I was very excited to see that.
I didn't see that video.
You'll have to check your Twitter feed.
I will have to. I usually get notifications when she posts something. It's weird. I do have my push notifications set.
Not well enough. Missed the pretzel.
Last week you talked about how you missed both Heather and the pretzel references, and both of those things were in this episode. People are going to think you watched ahead.
I'm just that good at guessing.
There was something else. Oh, we got some feedback.
Oh yeah?
It's not a review, but we got a comment on the last episode on Podomatic from, full disclosure, my Auntie Lori. Hi Auntie Lori, I love you! And it says, I love the show, and even more when you go off topic, you are going to love this episode. You make me smile when I listen. Great podcast. I think you two should do a song. Mike, we need to do a song.
Your auntie has not heard me sing. We do not need to do a song.
But, Mike, she wants us to do a song. Mike, she wants us to do a song.
It happened.
All right, there you go. I think that's as much as I'm going to get out of him.
Yes.
Sorry. All right. So this week we watched I'm So Happy That Josh Is Happy. It was written by Sano Patel and directed by Lawrence Trilling. And we open outside Josh and Valencia's new place. Paula is upset with Rebecca for spending Thanksgiving with Greg.
Yeah, ruining her plans here.
Ruining her plans.
Hard work.
She says that Greg is Rebecca's Jacob and Josh is her Edward, with Rebecca being Bella, to which I say, gross, Paula. Gross.
Because of the show in general or because of the analogy?
Because Twilight is gross.
Take your word for it. I haven't seen it or read it.
Yeah, it's just gross. Gross, misogyny,
just toxic relationships passing for romance. Not good.
Drama, at least, right?
Gross.
But Paula needs Rebecca to win Josh.
Yeah, it gives her hope because her marriage is the Walking Dead, she says.
I like that show.
Yeah, but is that what you want your marriage to be?
Well, no.
All right.
So we also learn that Greg is now texting Rebecca, like, a lot.
Yeah, Paula says that nobody likes a stalker while she's watching Josh and Valencia through binoculars.
Clearly stalking.
Yeah.
But they're friends, Rebecca says.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I believe her yet. We'll see. I don't want to judge, but, you know.
That was a pretty flirty pillow fight.
A little flirty. They got a little bit of history. I don't think I'm trusting that assessment from Rebecca. We'll see how it goes.
Also, she's not the most honest with herself person.
No way.
Yeah. Rebecca bought them a rice cooker.
Just an excuse to go kind of interrupt their move-in, probably, yeah. I think.
Yeah, but she, like, calls to make sure that it's okay for her to bring over the rice cooker, and Josh hits ignore.
Oh, that was sad.
Oh, that was the worst.
And it hit Rebecca pretty hard and pretty obvious.
Yeah. Went
down quick after that.
Yeah.
And Paul also mentions that now Rebecca is going to get a lot less Josh time.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of sinking in for Rebecca here that maybe things aren't going to happen.
Yeah. While Josh and Valencia are moving in, Valencia's like, let's burn sage. And Josh forgot to get the sage. And she's like, but ghosts are obsessed with me.
Like everyone, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, more weird V.
More
Valencia. More weird Valencia.
just as long as there's no evidence for it at all, Valencia believes it. But then the next scene we go to Whitefeather, and Rebecca is
trying not to fall apart, pretty much.
Yeah, like, she respectfully declines this feeling. And this is a bad day to be having a breakdown, because there's a huge potential client coming in. Daryl can definitely tell that something's wrong when Rebecca comes in.
What does Rebecca say to him? Here, obviously, but
yeah.
I'm trying to remember what that said. Well, maybe we don't need to go into what she said. There's something Daryl's like, huh?
Yeah. She says, I won't press ignore on
this case.
On this right. case, yeah. And Daryl's like,
that's
what?
That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. But yeah, this is really consuming Rebecca. She, like, starts typing up her proposal for the client, and she actually types up, like, Josh moving in with his super hot girlfriend.
And he pulls out the bottle of vodka, and it says, doesn't drink it straight from the bottle, like I would expect to happen.
No, she drinks it out of a pen cup, because that makes it better for some reason.
Yeah, that was not right.
Yeah.
But I suppose when you're in a panic attack, you're not thinking about stuff like blue teeth.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dr. Phil comes on the TV.
Yep.
Video about IDing panic attack, which is very timely.
Yeah, that's really convenient, Dr. Phil.
Just, like, knows what's going on. Really speaks to people.
That would make me concerned that my computer was monitoring me.
Do you have a little, like, sticker over your camera?
No, I should get that.
We're probably watching you.
Probably. I am super awesome. I can see why they'd want to watch me.
Probably all these people are downloading the podcast. Yeah. That's why we're so successful.
Yeah. We are the number 4 out of 4 podcast about
that
this
part
show.
Before. You told us you're number 4. I was really excited.
Oh, no. Yeah, I told you number 4 podcast specifically hosted on Podomatic and also specifically based in Minneapolis. But we're also the number 4 podcast about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Who ranks these?
Out of 4. I mean, we're the 4th one to come up on, like, when
clearly
you search iTunes.
On awesomeness.
I think
or maybe they are.
I think it's based. Yeah, it might be. Okay, back on topic.
Less self-loving. Loving. More
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend talk. Which, although self-loathing does feel like
applicable.
A theme
yeah,
for this
applicable.
Episode. So while we are off topic, we are, in a very meta way...
On topic.
Yeah. Are we really smart or really stupid? Probably the second one.
All right. So yeah, after the video, Kelvin Young, the hotshot client, comes strolling into the office. He's getting all the eyes.
Yeah. He is delighted by Paula's perfume. She rubbed a magazine on herself this morning, which she tells him.
It's a theme in this show where there's like a guy says something, some girl has like some ridiculous comment to say, and it just goes right over the guy's head. I just feel like that happens a lot with Rebecca and Josh, particularly, and then
Josh doesn't like always get like subtext or text.
Kelvin's a hotshot, though. You should get it. Or maybe he's just too polite or smooth to actually like say that. That's kind of weird, Paula.
Why did you tell me that? Well, no, like, I understand why she'd rub a magazine on herself. I just don't know why you'd tell somebody that you rubbed a magazine on yourself. I mean, ladies, who among us has not rubbed a magazine on ourselves?
As the meeting begins, Rebecca's kind of daydreaming about Josh and Valencia.
Yeah. Also, she's still drinking.
Yeah, at the meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Take a shot, but then to bring it with you.
Yeah, that's...
You lost it there.
And it's at this point that the ink in the bottom of the pen cup finally turns her teeth blue. Karen thinks that she was drinking the water out of the toilet. Which is an interesting leap to make. Now, did you have a blue slushy, or are you drinking vodka out of your pen cup?
The toilet.
Yeah, the toilet. She also says, here at Josh Feather, instead of White Feather, and Daryl's like, nah, go home.
Yeah, she blew it big time.
Yeah.
Daryl sends her home.
Yeah, and then...
almost throws her off the case, too.
Yeah, but she's like, no, don't throw me off the case, because if I'm not working, then I have to think my thoughts.
No one wants to think their thoughts.
Nobody wants to think their thoughts. And then we get back home, and Rebecca is depressed, laying on the couch. Paula calls to check on her.
Yeah, she's kind of has her face smushed in the couch, I notice. I think from this episode and also from last, I've noticed Rebecca's got a great, like, face smush. she kind of smushes it up against the wall last episode, and now she's smushed into the cushion. So I got to watch for this trend in future episodes, how much she face smushes in the show. Anyways, yeah. Moving on. I kind of dwell too long on that.
But she she lies and says that she's fine. She's just really focusing on the presentation, that she's fine. She asks Paula if she's fine doing the Calvin dinner alone, or not alone, without her. And Paula says, yeah. She's flipping through the TV. She comes across Dr. Phil again. And TV Dr. Phil says that, you know, it's important to deal with emotions head on.
Yeah, don't repress.
Don't repress. Repression leads to depression.
Sounds logical.
Yep, but Rebecca doesn't want to hear it. She keeps flicking through channels. Lands on a sad French movie. Then we have our first musical number.
Because the French make depression sexy.
Yep.
Although I've never seen a French movie, so I don't know if this is true, but it sounds right to me, so I'm going to go with it.
Yes, this is accurate.
Other than Les Mis I've watched, I guess there's a lot of depression in that one. But was it sexy? I don't recall that part of it.
And, you know, like, even Rachel Bloom, actually, I've heard her talk about this song in particular. And, you know, people talk about Marilyn Monroe and how she was so beautiful and so tragic. Like, oh, I love Marilyn Monroe. She was so beautiful and so tragic. But they never talk about her movies.
She was in the movies.
Yes.
That's where that blow scene came from.
Yeah. So she...
I thought she just did, like, pinups or something.
No, she was in movies.
Like a model.
No. Okay. I mean, she did those too,
But weren't you a fan of Marilyn Monroe, or am I thinking someone else? Cut this up here, someone else.
Yeah. I liked her stuff, and then, you know, you learn a little bit more about mental health, and you're like, oh. But I also enjoyed her movies. Like, I also...
You've seen them.
Yes. I also, you know, liked Some Like It Hot and Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and The Misfits. Misfits is really good.
That's a Marilyn Monroe movie?
Yes. No! I just brought it up for no reason.
You haven't noticed by episode 7, I'm not so bright. Basically, Josh level intelligence here. I mean, he's probably smart. He's just innocent. Not reading the text, all right?
Why would I bring up a... No, it's a Jane Fonda movie.
When I hear the Misfits, I think of... There's that band that people like to wear their shirts. And I think more like 90s. And I just assumed that the Misfits was like a 90s movie. And that did not sound like the right period for Marilyn Monroe.
Well, you would be correct in that that would be the wrong period for Marilyn Monroe.
I'm relating the word Misfits to more a different decade, which confused me.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. But yeah, back to the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, what were you saying?
And the point that Rachel Bloom was making, that, you know, people tend to, like, glamorize, like, depression. Like, people who haven't been depressed tend to glamorize depression and sadness.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Like, oh,
men and women. I don't think it's a specific gendered thing.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I really like, the... My bed smells like a tampon. And I bought a book about John Wayne Gacy online.
I bet you've done that.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're depressed, you don't take care of yourself.
True.
But yeah.
So Dr. Phil's in her living room now.
Yeah, and he tells her that her place is a dump.
Yeah, no decoration, no murals.
Nothing.
No Christmas lights, nothing.
Nothing. No fish.
So now the guys are all together. Do you know where they are in this?
They're at Greg's dad's house.
Greg's dad's house.
Because right. I saw the Serrano sign on the wall.
Observant? Very observant.
Don't make that noise ever again.
Good advice. That's good. Very observant. Yeah, so putting together a table, it sucks to do.
Yeah, hey, guess who's in this scene? Guess who's in this scene? It's Eric's arch nemesis.
Oh, wait, Josh!
Wait, Josh is back! Which I'm really excited about because it means that Eric will be cute fake mad again.
That'll be fun.
That's like the best thing ever. And also it gives me a chance to see if he still listens to the podcast.
Yeah, good point. If he doesn't get fake mad, he stopped listening. Yeah. We've lost one of our half dozen listeners.
And that'll be awful because, you know, I'm married to him, so...
He's not even listening to you. Oh, it's Walking Dead time.
Yeah. I have to have an almost affair with a client.
You don't have clients.
Well, I'm going to have to get clients and have an almost affair with them.
I'll bust in.
Don't do it!
No! Foreshadowing.
This is dumb.
It is. Okay. And here we kind of learn that all of Josh's friends don't really like Valencia so much.
Yeah, they're skeptical that Valencia's going to like the table because Valencia's very picky. I think you're skipping ahead.
I am skipping ahead to the next scene at the table, aren't I?
Yeah.
Go back a little bit again.
Yeah, so, yeah, the guys are all skeptical that Valencia's going to like the table because Josh bought it without talking to her and...
She likes to control stuff.
Yeah, she has very particular tastes. Not to be mean to Valencia.
No, that's fine. People can be picky.
Yeah. And, you know, tables are kind of big things. White Josh misses Josh's cargoes, which... What the hell, White Josh?
Why?
He misses Josh's cargo shorts?
So?
Gross.
Cargo shorts bad?
Yeah.
I kind of, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, I should get myself some cargo shorts. That sounds
No.
What kind of shorts am I allowed to wear? Cargo shorts, they have big pockets, right?
Yeah.
That sounds really useful.
But they look terrible.
Can I wear khaki shorts?
On everyone, I guess. As long as they aren't cargo shorts.
Define a cargo short. Where's the line? We got those extra pockets?
Yeah.
My favorite... I shouldn't be saying this. I feel like I'm about to get judged.
I mean...
My favorite pair of shorts that I have the extra pockets on the thigh.
Well...
Two of them. Does that make it a cargo pants?
Yeah.
They're my favorite shorts.
Well, you're lucky...
All the time.
You're lucky Nancy hasn't divorced you.
You know, if it wasn't for those khaki shorts, the cargo shorts, I'd be wearing jorts. It's the only other shorts that I have.
Oh.
And the last time I wore jorts, I got made fun of a lot, so I stopped. So now I just wear my cargo shorts. I'm going to make fun of that for that, too.
Yep.
What am I going to do?
I mean, you could get a third pair of shorts that aren't jorts or cargo
What's
shorts.
What's left?
Like every other kind of short.
Right. Well, we took very different messages from that scene.
You took that cargo shorts were a good idea from that scene?
Yeah, because he lost his cargo shorts because Valencia was controlling, and he should live his life.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you should wear cargo shorts, though.
That's what they were saying.
We have to draw the line somewhere.
That's what White Josh was saying.
Well, maybe White Josh isn't right about everything. Maybe Eric is needlessly jealous of White Josh because I could never actually be interested in anybody who would, like, not just write off cargo shorts out of hand. Gross.
I'm going to go shopping. I completely lost track of where
we were. We were talking about cargo shorts.
I mean,
no, you mean this
thing we're here to talk about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. But Josh says he picked out the table because he feels like Valencia is doing everything with the new apartment. And he wants to contribute and feel like he's part of the team. So that's a nice thing. And it's just a 72-step process to put together a table. Why is it a 72-step process to put together this table?
Little things, I guess. I don't know. How many screws are there? There's lots.
Yeah, but, like, look, I've put together my fair share of flat-packed furniture in my time.
There were 72?
No.
They didn't do the research before this, did they? Maybe they were just made up a number for the script, and they didn't actually look into it.
How hard is it to put four legs on a table?
Well, four legs are probably, like, two or three screws per leg, so that's 10.
That's 72.
All right, so they screwed up. Who wrote the show? They screwed up, all right?
I'm just saying, like,
we called them out at the beginning. Now we're going to call them out specifically.
Sonal Patel, what the hell?
Josh picked out the most complicated table in the history of tables. That's how much thought he put into this purchase.
I guess he wanted
the best. The most complicated.
The most complicated table is the best table.
Probably. It's probably got secret compartments and stuff.
I better. I mean,
a secret compartment's at least like 30 steps in itself.
I put together like a rolling kitchen island with like cabinets and drawers and shit. I think there were only 36 steps.
Yeah.
Just saying, the table didn't look that complicated to me.
Next.
Anyways, moving on. We go back to Rebecca. She's still hallucinating Dr. Phil.
She's digging through her drawers looking for drugs.
Looking for drugs, which is...
And she's stupidly draining down the sink way back in episode one. And I think we called it back then, Rebecca. That was a bad idea.
Yeah, you know, just dump all your meds. Dr. Phil, though, talks about how, you know, Rebecca has a very vivid imagination. He really liked the pretzel from...
The pretzel is back. Yes.
I thought you had more to say there.
Nope. I was just excited about the pretzel, and I didn't know what to say about it, other than the fact that I was excited that they said the word pretzel, all right?
You're like a dog when I say treat.
What? Pretzel? So Dr. Phil says, go to a doctor.
And she's like, all right, already three steps ahead of you, Dr. Phil. And Rebecca goes to a psychiatrist. She goes to see Dr. Akopian. And Rebecca...
Single-minded goal
of getting drugs.
Yes.
Which is never a red flag for doctors, I'm assuming.
Probably not. Probably just give us a phone.
Yeah, like candy. But not Dr. Akopian. Nope, Dr. Akopian wants to do real therapy.
Yeah.
And Rebecca's like...
wants to get as numb as they come.
Like, doesn't want to do the work, just wants the script and wants to be on her way. But Dr. Akopian turns it down. Rebecca goes to use the bathroom and finds a pill on the floor. And, and takes it home with her.
I'm glad she, at the minimum, I mean, it's not that good idea anyways, but at least she looked it up first and just threw it directly into her mouth in the bathroom floor.
That's a good point. Also,
even if you do look it up first, still don't do that.
Yeah, still not a good idea.
I feel like that's safe advice for us to give.
Yeah.
Don't take pills you find on the bathroom floor, even if you Google them.
You misidentify something.
Yeah.
It'd be easy to do.
You're not a doctor.
Yeah, maybe you need that.
And even if you are a doctor, at this point you should know not to take pills you find on the bathroom floor. Gross.
Yeah, so now we're at Paula's house for dinner.
Yeah, Scott won't be there because he's off doing Scott stuff.
And then I think it was funny, Daryl kind of like, you guys really get each other after...
after Paula's like...
Yeah, I know what he does, he knows what I do, and we don't care. He's like, oh, you guys really get each other.
Yeah.
That's Daryl.
Yeah. Oh, Daryl.
He's funny, though.
Yeah. Calvin gets there, and Paula and Calvin are, like, heavy flirting. Like, super heavy-duty flirting, and Daryl
again
does not get that Calvin does not give two fucks about him. Yeah, Calvin is like, I have an idea for a game. Tell me everything about yourself.
Daryl jumps in with some amazingly boring story, and I'm like, not you.
And then Paul says, well, no, you're the guest. You should go first. And this is where we find out that Calvin's wife died. Aww. Yeah. But before she died, she told Calvin to be happy and to grab whatever makes him happy.
Just grab.
Just grab. And Daryl's like, yeah, leave it.
Yeah, at this point he finally breaks through. Yeah, like, what's going on here.
Oh, yeah. Peace out, y'all. Then we go back to Rebecca's house. She's Googling the mystery pill, and it's ADD meds, which, again... Don't take a pill you find on the bathroom floor.
That was Dr. Phil's advice.
Right? Yeah.
Do I have to tell you? Then Dr. Phil, drops the bomb and is really kind of harsh direct with Rebecca.
Yeah.
About Josh has rejected you. It's over. He was kind of a little mean, but maybe it's something Rebecca needed to hear there. Yeah. But it just gets her to take the pill, I guess.
Just lays down some real shit and Rebecca's like, nope, pill time.
But then she gets to work.
And she is upset that Karen has put two spaces after a period and is using Oxford commas.
Wait, was she upset that she was using Oxford commas or not using Oxford commas?
No, she was like, what are those, Oxford commas? Delete, delete, delete.
Now, as someone who hates English, the subject, I have a hard time saying this, but I have feelings about both those subjects.
I like... two spaces after a period, personally.
Correct.
And I like Oxford commas.
Correct again.
Yeah.
These are like the only two things you could possibly say about English or writing that I'm going to have a strong opinion about, and I like both these things.
Yeah, I've noticed that it's like younger people who don't like the two spaces after a period.
That's just what you do. I've been doing that since grade school.
Yeah, but like people younger than us haven't been doing that. They've been only doing one space. But like, I like the two spaces because, you know, a sentence is a complete thought, right? And period. And then you give them like that, just that one little extra space to absorb the complete thought you've given them.
Yeah, they need that fraction of a second to read the space.
Yeah. And it's just a nice little break.
It's definitely a habit of mine, and I'm not stopping anytime soon.
And yeah, and I like Oxford commas.
They're needed for clarity.
Yeah.
They're just, I don't understand the other side of the argument. There is none. It's stupid. Use a comma.
Yeah.
It's controversial on this one.
Yeah. Hot take. Then we go back to Paula's house. They do a lot of jumping around in this episode.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot harder to break down the episode and keep jumping around if they were just, like, a little bit longer themes. We could get through this a little quicker.
Yeah. Or maybe we could just work on how we write our outlines.
I think we should, like, condense them ourselves into different like chunks.
Maybe. Not a bad idea.
Maybe. It'll be easier.
Alright. Whatever.
People still get the gist.
Yeah.
They jump around exactly like they're watching the show. It's not like they're pausing the show and listening to our commentary as they watch.
Which you suggested they do at one point.
Hey, yeah, well, you know, not everyone has good ideas all the time.
Okay. Don't do that.
If you want to.
I guess, if you want, but...
I think you should go for it. I'm back on this. I think they should. I'm going all the way there.
You're all over the place.
Anyways. Yeah, so we're back at Paula's house again. Kelvin's still there.
Yeah, still there. Paula is, like, saying she'd show him around West Covina tomorrow and lists, like, some, like, spots like the zoo, I remember. And Kelvin's like, how about in the afternoon we go to a jazz spot?
Some smooth licks.
He invites Paula and her husband, but Scott's not much of a licker.
Party face.
Oh, poor Paula. Sorry, Mom.
And Auntie Isaac.
And Auntie Laurie. Moving on.
Yeah, so now Rebecca is up. And I capitalize up because she is all over the place.
Yeah.
She's been up all night. She's got pictures. She's got a mural. She's got lights. She's just going all out.
Redid the grout.
Yeah.
And she says, who's crazy now? Dr. Phil. And Dr. Phil's like, well, crazy is a derogatory term. And I'm not sure that it applies to you.
Very nice of you, Phil.
Yeah. Good job, Dr. Phil. And Rebecca says, where were you in my gender studies class? Then Rebecca's finally gonna get to work on the presentation, but first, she needs to check Instagram. And that's when she sees Valencia has posted a picture of their new bedroom, hashtag christened.
Christened. Oh. I didn't catch that when I was watching it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why she is so affected by that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rebecca. That was hurtful.
Yeah, so, and at this point, yeah, Rebecca realizes that, you know, maybe that pill wasn't exactly what she needed.
But what she definitely needs is a donor.
Yeah, so she calls Heather.
Heather's back! I'm happy. She's gone for a couple episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she only shows up with the pretzel.
No. They're linked.
Except the pretzel was in the first episode, and she wasn't in the first episode.
We're going to have a conspiracy theory and then immediately debunk it.
I can't help it.
But she has a really fun-looking bong.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
I don't know, it was like glass, and it had some colors in it, and it just looked like fun. I don't know.
All right.
It wasn't boring.
I believe you.
Most bongs aren't boring, but this one was fun. Like most bongs. So yeah, they smoke some pot.
Yeah, which, you know, helps Rebecca relax, except now she can't get any work done.
Yeah, she's not going to be productive. She may be relaxed.
Yeah, but then she has the fantasticiest idea ever.
What's that idea?
We don't know yet because we have to go back to Greg's house.
So yeah, they're putting together the table again.
Yeah, and it's actually the next day.
Oh yeah, they fell asleep.
Yeah,
putting together. Really sort of the screws.
How complicated is this table? I'm concerned.
Maybe Josh and all of his friends aren't smart.
I feel like Greg seems smart, though.
He seems smart. This is the worst table ever.
This is the worst. Josh, you're really bad at buying tables.
Yeah, that's why Valencia doesn't like your table.
Yeah.
Not because
you're shitty at buying tables.
Yeah, maybe you should just listen to Valencia.
Also, don't wear cargo shorts.
Do wear cargo shorts.
No. Wait, Josh is wrong.
I'm going to take all my fashion advice from Josh, White Josh. I'm going to probably take off my shirt band of this podcast.
Damn it, you're never going to wear a shirt again.
Hi, Angry Eric. Fake Angry, remember, fake. My shirt's still on, let's move on.
Right. But yeah.
So, yeah, all the guys start dropping hints.
Yeah, like, Greg and White Josh are like, you can still bail on this table. Bros before tables.
Josh ain't picking up on this.
Nah. And neither is Hector. Hector thinks that, you know, it's nice. A nice thing that Josh is doing. And
so he's talking about anal sex.
Apparently.
I mean, parking.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I just wrote down parking to sex for that part.
Wait. Don't have anything more to say about that.
Yeah, no, I don't either. It's not that deep, just weird parking sex metaphor.
We learn all the friends just Don't like Valencia much.
Alright, and then next scene. Now we find out what the most fantastic-iest idea ever is.
Burritos.
Burritos. Burritos are awesome.
Not pretzels, though.
Not pretzels.
I was kind of expecting that.
No.
Hoping, maybe. More like.
Yeah, but they have burritos. Which are awesome. Weird. Admittedly.
And they decide they're going to go back to the doctor, and now that they're so chill, they will
clearly
be given meds then.
Yeah, because that was definitely the problem, that Rebecca wasn't high enough.
First time.
Yeah. The first
time.
So now
that she is high, the doctor's going to come around.
Seriously. Yeah, now she's going to get drugs. But
somehow decides to try to crawl through a doggy door.
Well, they see her, the prescription pad on the desk by the window.
Yeah.
And Heather says it's a wizard's test. Because she wouldn't have left the prescription pad there. She didn't want someone to take it.
Clearly.
So Rebecca tries to go through the doggy door, but her boobs get stuck.
Well, it wasn't her boobs, it was going to be her hips. It was a small door.
No, it was a small door.
Yeah, and then the doctor catches her halfway through the doggy door.
Yeah, halfway through the doggy door, and she does her really bad British accent asking for pills.
That's the way to do it.
Yep, that's because that's what was going to convince her.
So chill. I'm so chill I can do accents.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No.
She has to agree to counseling, or is going to get reported to the police?
Yep. Yeah, we just skipped over,
did it again.
A whole thing. Then we go to the jazz club, and Calvin wants to, be a big shot, so he, gives the guy, a guy near the door, $20 to, seat them, and he's like, I don't work here.
Yeah, but he did this, magical link thing, and that just made the guy do it.
He was like, okay, I'll take your $20. Here's a table.
Just to seat yourself place or something?
Yeah.
Those near rich client, you just do stuff like that.
Well, he's trying to be, fancy and, show off for Paula.
It's working for him.
Yeah, I mean, Paula's seduced. She's impressed by his trips to Fresno and and his fancy credit cards that you see in all the commercials.
Prompts our second song.
Our second song, his status is preferred, and Paula is, wearing, the sexiest dress ever.
I wrote that note, too. Yeah. I said, Paula's dress is hot.
Yeah. damn, Paula.
No pepper necklace, but...
cherry necklace.
No cherry necklace, but the dress is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my main note for the song, is sexy glam doll Paula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought they did good.
Yeah, and then they, after the song...
Paula gets the invite.
Paula gets the invite back to the hotel room. And then we go back to Dr. Kopian, who is lecturing Rebecca and Heather. And Heather's like, I didn't do anything, I'm a student.
Yeah, true, she was just watching the whole time, but...
Yeah.
All right, legal professional, give us advice. Is it a crime to watch someone do a crime?
I can't give legal advice.
Can you talk to me like a person? Giving advice?
I mean, I don't have...
Right, I'll pressure you into giving advice you don't want to give.
I mean, yeah.
I'm asking for a friend, not for me.
Okay, then I can tell you. No, I can't give legal advice, but I also would say I don't know if Heather would be considered an accessory or not if Dr. Kopian decided to press charges. Because it could definitely, I would think, be argued that... she was acting as lookout, and even an ineffective lookout would still be an accessory.
Okay. She could get in trouble just for watching a crime.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not...
What else is she supposed to do? She's supposed to run away? I'm out of here, I guess. Right?
Well, she could run away. She could, report the crime,
okay.
Which is what you're supposed to do if you're witnessing a crime.
Okay.
You're supposed
to report it. There's a lot of things you could probably do other than sit there and laugh at her.
There are a lot of options. If you witness a crime, you should probably report it.
That advice.
I mean, you're not going to get in trouble with the law unless you're also breaking the law at the time that you witness the crime.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to judge Heather. But yeah, so she is still in trouble. But luckily for both of them, there's a deal on the table.
Yeah, she won't. Dr. Copian won't press charges if Rebecca agrees to, like, meet every week and do real therapy with her.
Yeah, so Rebecca's got no choice. So she agrees.
Anyways, so they leave the office, and, like, right in front of, like, Dr. Copian's office appears to be in her house, which a lot of therapists do. They'll have their office in their house. But as they're leaving, like, Rebecca is, like, defeated, and she, like, collapses on the lawn, and she's like, Heather, can you pull out my phone and just put it in my hand?
She just needs to be cared for at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
I recognize that from children. Them to just need to be cared for, even though they don't really need it.
Yeah. Rebecca calls Paula to tell her that she can't do the presentation, asks her if she can call Daryl for her and let him know. And Paula's like, well, actually, I'm at the hotel right now with Calvin, so yeah. I can just tell him. And Rebecca's like, what? And she's like, oh, I gotta go, bye.
Rebecca goes off to intercept.
Yeah. She runs to the hotel. Back at the hotel, Paula is really impressed by Calvin's room. It has two TVs in it.
That's what you need when you're business traveling.
Yeah, and Paula says she feels like strawberries and champagne are just going to magically arrive at the door. All right, so there's a knock on the door. Paula thinks it's strawberries and champagne because she was just talking about strawberries and champagne.
Because the Calvin guy's so magical.
Yeah. Calvin goes to open the door, knowing that he didn't order strawberries and champagne.
Well, you can't just not open. What is it? You gotta know.
Yeah. And it's Rebecca, and she, like, runs in the room yelling, don't do it. And then we cut to Greg's house.
With the table guys.
The table guys. And Valencia's there. Table's done. They want to surprise Valencia. Josh leads her in with her eyes covered. She thinks she's getting a puppy.
Wouldn't that be more upsetting than a table? No one wants a pet by surprise. Do people want that?
I mean, always do.
Really? Like, if you just randomly got a pet, you'd be happy? Like, are you listening?
If
Angie comes home and he has a pet?
Right now it'd probably be a bad idea because we have two dogs and three cats.
Yeah.
So another
just showed up randomly.
But like if I had no pets.
A big commitment. What if you had no pets because you didn't want pets and then someone just brings you a pet? You can't just make that decision for someone.
Well, it sounds like Valencia would have been happy about it.
I guess, but I don't see why she'd expect someone randomly to just decide to give her a pet.
Maybe she's talked about puppies before.
All right, she must have.
Yeah.
That's a common sense. Explanation for the scene, and I'm gonna drop it.
I mean, if somebody randomly got me a pony, I'd be pretty stoked.
You can't keep a pony. You keep them in your garage.
Well, you would stable it.
You don't have a stable.
Wait, you pay a stable to take care of your pony.
That sounds expensive.
Yeah.
You're going to be as happy as someone drops a pony off and you have to pay for a stable now?
I guess not. I mean, if they're also paying for the stable, then yes.
All right.
I would name it Professor Clop Clop.
Thought about this.
Anyways.
Something was going on in the show, right?
Yeah. The show we're supposed to be talking about.
Valencia does not like the table.
No.
We are not surprised.
Nope. Nobody's surprised. Josh seems surprised.
A little let down. I was sad for Josh in the scene.
Yeah. She asks them to take it apart and return it and says, you know, you guys should all come over for dinner.
When we
get the right table. Ouch, Josh. Ouch. Oh. Then we go back to the hotel. Paula's marriage is crap, but having an affair would just be a Band-Aid.
Paula looks pretty disappointed in Rebecca here.
Yeah. But... you know, Paula was trying to get Rebecca to, you know, feel her feelings. And Paula needs to do the same thing. Paula needs to feel her feelings. And
face her real problems instead of the Band-Aid.
Yep. And Rebecca says that, you know, this is just a Band-Aid or like a pill you find on the bathroom floor. And Calvin's like, who would do that?
No one. So what do you think? Rebecca make the right move?
What?
Rebecca, should do the right thing?
Stopping Paula from having an affair?
Yeah.
Yes.
At first I thought it was a little like, obtrusive and bold of her to, like, get dive into her business like that. But I've had a change of heart, because I think it was exactly what Paula needed.
Yeah, like...
And she had a better sense of what Paula needed than I did at the time. When I was watching the first time, I was like... At first I thought it was kind of rude, and I was like, no, it was emotionally intelligent of her, I guess.
Yeah, like, Paula would regret having an affair.
Yeah.
She would. But yeah, so here we find out that it's been 10 years since someone's held Paula's hand, and then I started crying.
Everyone was crying.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, and then, yeah, Rebecca and Paula are crying, and then Calvin starts crying too because he misses his wife, and he says that Rebecca has the no-nonsense honesty and emotional insight that he looks for in a commercial real estate lawyer.
Which is, yeah, of course, and your real estate lawyers need that.
Yeah, you need that. Yeah, that's actually...
emotional insight. That's what she has that I was lacking when I watched it the first time.
Yeah.
It took me a while to, like, come to that conclusion. It wasn't natural. My first thought was, like, stay out of people's business. But I'm with her. Back at the office, Rebecca's got a standing ovation.
Yeah. And Daryl asks her how she did it. Yeah.
She respected her privacy and kind of didn't really say the truth.
Yeah, well, she didn't give the whole truth, right?
She said that she told him how great Daryl was.
Well, she told him that she got him to see what Daryl wanted to see, that they were a bunch of kick-ass lawyers, and that they're a family. You say, Paula, are you saying running to a hotel room to stop your coworker from having an affair makes you not family?
All right. You can get there if you go around the long way. Take the scenic route there.
Yeah.
I read it as a straight up lie and just kind of
no.
cover up. But you can get there if you keep taking left turns for a while.
I'll find a way, goddammit. Daryl gets choked up because I think Daryl definitely sees White Feather as a family.
Oh yeah, that is
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's his world right there.
Yeah. And Rebecca makes like a huge thing about everybody needs to feel their feelings except Karen. Not Karen. Shut up, Karen.
And then the boss shuts her up, too.
That was yeah.
Daryl. I need to hear from her boss.
Yeah.
Or maybe she needed to shut up. I don't know, but I felt a little sad for her.
Yeah, poor Karen. But also, stop talking about tampons so much, Karen.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah. And then Rebecca goes to therapy. She says she's excited to face her problems head on. Goes on how she knows it's going to be a lot of hard work, but she's willing to put the work in, and then she gets a text from Josh, and she runs out the door.
Yeah, runs out of there like it's her job.
Yep.
They're getting boba. We had boba.
Mike had boba for the first time.
I don't know what it was. It's weird, but I like it.
Yeah, and Rebecca gives Josh the rice cooker. He loves it.
For the same reason.
Yeah.
As Paula suspected.
Yeah, and Josh asks Rebecca what she thinks of the table. And Rebecca says it's a perfect table.
And Josh finally gets the reassurance he needs about the table.
Yeah, and he invites her over to slip and slide in their socks, but not when Valencia's there because she thinks it's dumb. So.
But then Rebecca calls Valencia stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying it. It's okay.
No, Mike, that's not how that works.
Trying to make myself feel better for teasing her so bad earlier in the podcast. Or previous podcast, I should say.
Yeah. And then Dr. Phil is there and Rebecca thinks she's hallucinating again.
I mean, he's but actually here this time.
No, he's really there. And he thinks they're a couple. Isn't that so funny? He thinks they're a couple. But they're not a couple. But isn't it so funny?
He thinks it, yeah.
He thinks they're a couple.
Rebecca dwells on that quite a while. That was Dr. Phil look at Josh and say, good luck, buddy, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, if Dr. Phil thinks you're a couple, and, like, he's a psychiatrist like, on TV. So.
Some insight to their relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's... and then we get our little end tag scene of Calvin singing the Sexy Gonna Do It song.
It modeled from the previous Sex Again Ready song.
Yep. And that...
I hope you're cool with that. Ask for the consent there yes. before he moves in.
Which is good. Good job, Calvin.
All right, and that was the episode, Mike. What'd you think?
This one had a lot of feels in it. So I liked it. It, you know, dealt on the depression stuff, and yeah, it was good. Got to see Pretzels again. Got to see friend Heather again.
Yeah.
So I liked it.
All right. So now we're going to do Aw, Honey, which is the person in this episode that you just really sympathized with. You felt like you've been where they've been and you just felt for them. Who's your Aw, Honey, Mike?
I've got Josh.
You've got Josh.
He's trying so hard to contribute and, you know, having his ideas brought into the fold here in the relationship, and he kind of gets brushed aside. You see, it's happened to me. I have to fight for my areas of influence. But yeah, so you know, I can feel for Josh.
All right, my Aw, Honey is Josh's friends. Because I know what it's like to watch a friend just make like a horrible decision, and you want to be more explicit, but you just can't be more explicit because they won't listen to you. And then they'll villainize you, but you know they're making a bad decision, so you just have to, like, subtly drop hints that they're making a bad decision. Yeah. Yeah. I'm Josh's friends. And now it's time for I Just Can't With You Right Now, which is the person that you just can't with. You just can't with them right now. And, for me, you know, he pulled it out and, like, came back around at the end. But for me, it was Calvin. You, Paula, was married. And also, I don't like the fake fancy thing.
Yeah.
That's just a little pet peeve of mine. Like if you like things, just like them. Don't try to make them sound fancier than they are. I don't like fake fancy people.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, he pulled it around at the end. But yeah, for a minute, I just couldn't with him. Who could you just not with?
Yeah, basically, you see the last section, but I'll go Valencia for the same reasons, just that dynamic. She could try to be a little nicer to Josh and clue down the decisions, and she's just kind of, you know, what am I trying to say? Yeah, she just, let Josh pick a table or something.
It's fine. All right. And now, Mike, what time is it?
It's prediction time!
Mike's Prediction Corner! It's time for Mike's predictions.
I've got a confession.
A confession?
I got mini spoiled. On Twitter.
No! No!
It's a mini spoil. I heard from Twitter that there is a gay storyline in season one, is what Twitter said. And I didn't get a lot of detail. That was the extent of my detail, and I did not read further into the thread or anything else. But that I heard on Twitter. So now I got to figure it out. So, who is the gay storyline? Do we know these people yet? Is there a twist? I kind of went through all the characters and trying to figure out who might be a suspect. But I was thought, you know, we got in this show so far, we've got two marriages that are failing. So that could play a role, and I thought Scott seems like that. I mean, Paula and them are going to have some sort of confrontation now, right? Prediction number one, actually, if I wanted to go out of order here. So the Paula thing that I predicted before, I think is happening. So, you know, I can't wait to see the next episode, see kind of how that plays out with the husband now as she has to feel her feelings. But what might come out of that is maybe part of the reason he's not into the licks and they just don't seem to have a very attentive relationship is maybe because he's not really into ladies. Possible.
It's interesting.
We also got Daryl and his failing marriage, and we don't think we have any kind of background on why they failed. So I don't really have any reason to think that, other than the fact that something happened, we don't really know.
His wife was having an affair for 5 years.
But he didn't find that out until after they were divorced, or divorcing.
She didn't like that he cried during cat food commercials and wanted to talk about his feelings all the time.
They were just fighting. I don't know. All right, so maybe there's more than I'm thinking. Then I thought just maybe White Josh, because it's the only other person I could think of. but I don't know really much anything at all about White Josh, so I have no basis for thinking one way or the other, but that's my prediction. I could try to figure it out, so those are my prime suspects for the storyline. Yeah, both things were happening, and it had wrote before I thought of the, before I got spoiled, my second prediction relating to Paula again, before I got spoiled, was that she goes to tell Daryl, or not Daryl, goes Scott? To tell Scott, and Scott's already seeing other people too, because he's always traveling so much, who knows, there's opportunity. So maybe he's not upset that she almost had an affair. He's like, yeah, because I did too. But maybe, yeah, who knows, maybe we'll find out season episode 8.
Interesting theories you have.
Mm-hmm. Correct theories. Because I'm so good at predicting.
All right. Well, that's the show. If you like this for some reason, you can rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find us on Facebook at You Ruin Every Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at You Ruin Every Pod. Or you can email us if you want to get, like, really, really deep down into how stupid we are. Or maybe you just want to say nice things to us.
An option.
That's an option. You can do that. You don't have to just tell us how stupid we are. Nobody's done that. But yeah, you can email us at youruineverythingpod@gmail.com. And we still, 7 episodes in, can't end this show. Okay, bye.
Bye.